Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sofia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy Bobo-pedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places that I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
The near sideline of the front court. Vooch jumping up and down. And a pass to MVP from range to the left. He'll launch for three. Back rim, no good. Rebound, Caruso. And the Bulls have done it. They've stunned the Sixers and ended Philadelphia's winning streak at six as the Bulls beat the Sixers 108-104.
Absolutely terrific play game. Bulls really had control most of it. Never defensively held Philadelphia under 30 points every quarter except the last. Philadelphia makes a big run, but the Bulls hang on.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez and SCORE senior football analyst Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
That was Bill Wennington and our very own Zach Zaidman on the call right there. Shout out Zach Zaidman, did a fantastic job. If they need somebody to fill in for DePaul Basketball Hub, just tell them to call me, man. I know that's how that works. It trickles down.
You know, I thought that was Zach, and it's great to hear him doing that job.
Yeah, Zach does a phenomenal job when he fills in for not only Pat, but Chuck Swirsky as well, who lost his sister. So, you know, rest in peace and prayers out to Chuck's family and a nice little cloak of calmness over them. That's what we ask for. In that situation. But he will be back soon enough, so make sure you check that out tomorrow. Bulls are going to be getting things going, and Chuck should be back for that one. But right now we get to talk to our next guest, who is joining us on the hotline presented by Circa Sports Illinois. He covers the Bulls for us right here on 670. It is none other than Cody Westerlund. Cody, good evening.
How are you guys doing tonight? Good to be on.
Likewise. So this Bulls team, you know, you and I, we've had to have conversations where we were almost forced to talk about this Bulls squad. It was so painful. But now, not too bad to talk about them in the last couple of days, just because they're at least interesting to watch.
More than interesting. Like, this is a fun basketball team right now. Gabe, they're 6-3 in their last nine. Obviously, the cloud hanging over that has been Zach LaVine being out with the foot injury, but they're sharing the ball well. Like, they're rotating defensively. I mean, we get so stuck, I think, on offense sometimes. That's a little flashier. You can see how they're sharing the ball so easily. But these guys have been playing really hard on defense, too. And, like, it's not any one magical thing, but they're just playing solid basketball offensively, helped by better three-point shooting, better offensive rebounding. And then defensively, they're playing solid ball, too. And, like, they're competing really hard against some really good teams, right? Like the 76ers are, what, top 3-4 team in the NBA? I think they lead the NBA in net rating, point differential there. So they've been playing really well. The Bulls split in Miami. Two other fun games that were just really fun to watch for them on the road, got the one, and then Jimmy Butler got him at the buzzer on the other. But this has been quite the turnaround, and really it's trending toward putting them probably in a pretty big crossroads here in late January or early February too, as the trade deadline looms, and by then they'll need to decide what they their direction is for the rest of the season.
You know, a lot to like the last couple of weeks, but the thing that I've been the most excited about is watching Coby White. How good is this kid?
Oh, he's good. He's good. I'm not going to go out and say he's an all-star yet. I think he's flashing. If he did this over a full season, obviously, or a full first half of the season, he'd be right there in the all-star conversation. But no one deserves more credit for this Bulls rebirth, really, or just resurgence lately, than Coby White, who's averaging over 25 points in the last 9 games. He's just absolutely on fire from three-point land, making almost 5 per game lately. So this is a guy who has really, really worked hard to become a much better all-around basketball player. If you remember back to his rookie year, his second year, like, he would catch fire at times, guys. Like, he could throw up 30 points a game. I think his career high is 36. He had some, like, 33-point games, too, there in his early years in the NBA. So, like, you knew that was in him. But at the same time, like, you watch Coby White his first or second year, no one in NBA history, I don't think, that I've seen has run into more screens and got hung up more defensively than he did early in his career. And he's worked so hard on this stuff, so detailed on this stuff. And he's improved in really important areas that aren't obvious unless you really watch him every night, unless you've seen him play throughout the course of his NBA career, which is now in its 5th year. And I think last night's the perfect example, guys. 76ers down a couple points late, run the maxi. Joel Embiid pick and roll, get the ball to Joel Embiid. Looks like he's got a full steam path to the hoop for the game-tying bucket. Maybe a potential three-point play, too, to take the lead. And Coby White slides over and then kind of pulls the rug out from under Joel Embiid, just kind of was where he needed to be. He didn't, like, block him at the rim, but he made Embiid kind of lose the ball, miss the shot. DeMar DeRozan grabbed it, and the Bulls win, right? Like, that's a play. He used his brain, a lot of effort. He understood the scouting report. He understood the moment. And, like, that just, to me, that play reflected, I think, as much last night about him as his, I think, team-high 24 points did.
Yeah, I was bummed that DeMar didn't hit that free throw to make it just 3-point game, so it could have been a lot easier to handle at the very end. But nonetheless, a good play by the team to pull out that victory. It seemed as though yesterday during the game, Cody, that, you know, the Bulls found the rhythm and the 76ers kind of looked disinterested in the game to a point, and then started pulling it back, and you thought maybe, oh, this is where the Bulls kind of collapse and, you know, don't have good shot selection, and, you know, the Sixers find a way to pull away.
Hey, Leo, you got me?
But yeah, that, you got me. But yeah, we got you here, Cody. Can you, oh, we got to get him to restart a little bit. Yeah, let's reset. Don't worry, you got it. Leo Stoddard. I got to ask him a good question, because my thing was, Hub, it's about the character of the Bulls team that's different. Right, it's not just Zach being out and people wanting to move the ball more, but, you know, it's like Cody said, the rotations. There was an instance, a couple of instances where, you know, usually the rotation is just, you know, this guy goes to double this one and everybody just kind of rotates over. There was one where, like, the fourth guy that would be switching made his way over initially. Like, it was just, again, something that you might not have seen. But, Cody, what I was saying was, that in the second half, it seemed as though that the Bulls, you know, were more often than not, they would have, you know, let go of the rope, so to speak. And in this game, for whatever reason, and that's why I'm asking, like, what you could pinpoint, it seemed like, you know, there was just a little more oomph from them in that third quarter that allowed them to withstand that comeback and push back that lead in the fourth.
Yeah, that's an excellent point. I mean, I Billy Donovan was making that point too, right? Like, they had a couple instances even a few nights before against the Heat where they were down like 15 points early, mm-hmm. and then 11 or 12 in the game. You look at the 76ers last night, grabbing, I think, an early 12-point lead, might even been a couple more than that, but just came out storming. And I think there's a confidence because they've won some games that helps. But also, like, it's worth pointing out, I feel like they're getting better shots every possession in the game. So they feel like, even if they fall behind, right, it's not so much the process right now that's off form. It's kind of the execution and result at the end of the play. So I think that gives them a little bit more confidence. And I think that was probably displayed too in Billy Diamond's post-game comments, where he was like, you know, there's games we've gone in the locker room and lost, and we felt like we didn't play hard enough, well enough, organized enough to have a chance to win the game. And then there's games lately where we go in the locker room, he was saying about his Bulls, and you lose a hard one and you're like, you gave yourself a chance. And that's what they're doing. And then, like, some of it's just like 3-point shooting coming back. I think a little bit positive regression, obviously, here in the last 9 games. And last night wasn't a huge 3-point shooting night or anything for the Bulls. But when they do get going a little bit more, I think they have that belief that it's going to turn around. I think also the 76ers game last night, Embiid did everything. Maxey had a pretty darn good game, I think, with 29 points. But everyone else on the Sixers was not very good. So yeah. At some point, like, the Bulls' game plan and strategy kind of came back their way, where these other guys weren't hitting enough shots. So I think that has a lot to do with it as they move forward and look at how they can compete every night.
So, Cody, I hate to change the subject, but I've got to get to the question of the hour. It seems impossible that the Bulls are a better basketball team without Zach LaVine, but they are, at least the last couple of weeks since the injury or since he got hurt. What do you think comes next? Does the trade come? Do they possibly keep him? I mean, because again, it seems impossible unless they get a ton for him, and they're not going to get a ton for him. It seems impossible to believe that they're better without him.
Yeah. So February 8th is the trade deadline. I would expect Zach LaVine to be traded by then, because that's what he wants. That's what the Bulls want. And we're at this time period now, what are we, December 19th, where other teams aren't offering that much. There hasn't been much of a market for Zach LaVine yet. Yet the Bulls have a really high price. Yahoo Sports reported the other day they want an established starter. They want a young guy for their rotation and first-round draft capital. So you do the math there. That's 3-4 assets of some sort that the Bulls want for their star player in their eyes. They're not going to get that much, so at some point the Bulls will have to come around before February 8th if they do indeed want him off the team by then. So again, I would expect it, but you pointed out, Hub, like this is no guarantee. If they get terrible offers all the way through February 8th, they can trade him this summer. Now that would set up, I think, one of the most awkward, weird final couple months of the season of what to do with them. I don't know if you make up injuries for like 2 straight months or something, right? But it would be incredible. Like, if you asked me when they went 4-0 after Zach first went out, are they better without Zach LaVine? I'd be like, well, you know, it's just one of those random oddities of the NBA season where sometimes you get hot, win 4 in a row. Offense can go in the tank pretty soon here. But they're better with Zach LaVine on the floor if he's playing at an efficient, high level and fitting into the system, which he did that first year with this core with Vooch and DeMar and when Lonzo Ball was healthy. When he fit in to the offense and didn't hold the ball, didn't stop the ball, and was more of a play finisher rather than a decision maker on plays, there's no doubt that the Bulls are better with Zach LaVine when he plays at that level. Guys, we haven't seen that level this year. This year, the way he's playing, they are certainly better. All the evidence tells us that right now in how they're playing lately, in how it's smooth offensively, and how they're better defensively without him. So it's hard to answer that question without knowing Zach LaVine's form. And right now, all we know is Zach LaVine did not have that form, and he's currently dealing with right foot soreness that obviously hampered him. So I don't know how this plays out, right? Like, I think in the Bulls' ideal world, they could just trade him by the time before he comes back from injury, trade him in mid-January or something. At that point, which I know a lot of people have kind of reported, like it looks like that's when he would track back and be able to play. So it's hard to pinpoint, but yes, I expect he'll be traded. I would expect the return to be a little more underwhelming than they want, and probably raise some eyes, obviously, in Chicago, given how much he's paid. But that $215 million contract plays into it, too. So I don't know what your thoughts on how good the Bulls are with Zach LaVine or without him, but it's obviously positive lately. And if he comes back, he's going to have to play on their terms, how they're playing. And if he did that efficiently, they'd be better. But right now, it's hard to see that pass sometimes.
Cody, this obviously is not my sport. This is why I need you. But yeah. the few times that I've heard him recently, he said all the right things. And he still sounds like a Chicago Bull. I mean, obviously, he wants to be traded. But he doesn't sound like somebody who's going to be a problem if he's not. And so I would prefer that the Bulls not take less than he's worth just to get rid of him. If the trade doesn't happen by the deadline, is there a chance that, he gets healthy, comes back, and that suddenly this team becomes more interesting because they become even better than they are right now with him playing for them?
Yeah, absolutely. Look, like I would expect if they do hang on to him that he would play the final couple months at that point, right? Because right now, from everything we know he has right foot soreness, but they haven't even given us an official diagnosis yet, which sometimes to me kind of seems like it's more on the player's terms, like they can't pinpoint the injury. I should say the Bulls haven't done that. Zach has explained it as a midfoot strain a time or two when the injury first set in. So to me, like, it doesn't feel like a super serious issue for him. Like, if he got traded in a couple weeks to the Lakers, just hypothetically, for example, I'd expect him to be playing for the Lakers pretty soon after getting moved there, certainly. So given that, given how far away February 8th is in relation to the injury he has, he could be fully healthy for the final couple months of the season, having seen what they did. And, like, yes, the path is still there for a positive outlook, hope for him to come back and play well. But again, like, some of this is, to me, more mental than physical. It's like, can he play how they want to play? I can't answer that. Only Zach can answer that. I don't know that the Bulls know the answer to that or how he would play. They only briefly saw it really for that first half of the season in, what, 21-22 season. So it's why it's really one of the more interesting situations here, I think, that we've seen for the Bulls and any team really in the NBA over the past couple of years, just how you do have a star player. So it's hard to say, Hub, right? Like, every possibility's kind of still in play, but all signs, again, would point to a trade. I think the best question for you guys that would be just kind of the barroom question is, like, will he play a couple more games for the Bulls before he's traded?
Does that
help his trade value?
Right. That's what Ant Heron said when we were doing transition. He's like, Gabe, I was like, I don't think your boy's going to be playing for the Bulls anymore. And I'm like, I guess you don't need him to, per se, if a team wants, because a team that wants him will probably say, don't play him. They're just like, hey, man, don't worry, leave him there, we'll take him. Like, don't even worry about it. But I mean,
like, I think we know what Zach LaVine is when he's healthy and in a good situation that he likes. And I would assume he'd be healthy pretty soon after getting traded. I would assume, given that he's represented by Clutch, that he would probably get sent to a destination he's okay with. So, like, when he's healthy and happy, he's a really efficient high-level basketball player. So I would, to me, I don't think Zach LaVine has to come back to prove trade value or anything. I think the Bulls would point to it in trade negotiations if he did come back and hang, you know, 30 points a couple times on an efficient shooting. But I don't feel like that has to be the answer. People already across the NBA, most everyone has their opinion made up on Zach LaVine, given he's been in the NBA so long and given what he has and hasn't accomplished. Like, those are, most people have a pretty set opinion that I don't think a couple games is going
to sway. Yeah, but Cody, I feel like he's never been put in a position to have to change his game, right? Where he was in Minnesota and he was one of the sole focuses out there, in Chicago, same thing. And he's never had to be on, one, a team with, you know, people that are better than him, significantly better than him, I should say.
Yeah.
And two, you know, to having to, like, alter his game just a little bit to not be the primary ball handler scorer.
It's an excellent point, Gabe. I would push back in only one regard, and that's when he played for Team USA that won the gold medal. Fair. In summer 2021. I think that was in Tokyo. And he was really a role player, played pretty good defense there, kind of shot open threes, didn't have the ball in his hands a lot. But that's a different animal, right? Like, USA basketball and Kevin Durant's on your team, that's like a no-brainer, question marks like that. You don't raise an issue. So, like, really the only way he's changed his game since he's come to Chicago is he has deferred to DeMar in crunch time, which all the speculation behind the scenes is that obviously Zach doesn't love that all the time. He understands it. He understands it sometimes. Other times he wish he'd had the ball in crunch time. So that's the main way, I think, that he has deferred. But there has been no huge stylistic change or adjustment for him in the way he plays that you could see him having to make if he was playing alongside LeBron James, for example, as we all expect the Lakers to have interest in Zach LaVine on a team with Anthony Davis even as a number two there. Zach might actually be the number two scorer if he got moved to the Lakers, something like that. But we know that like Anthony Davis is the second best player on that team and such. So, yeah, another thing. And again, it's just, it's going to, I think, get back to like, what are the Bulls just willing to take? Because there will be offers closer to the trade deadline. And do they think it's worth it to keep him a couple months and see what happens in this season? And it could get even messier. He could get even more unhappy. All to go through that to maybe have a chance to trade him for more in the summer. So that's why it's confusing. And that's really why, I mean, I don't know, a game of roulette or something here exactly, but they're going to have just fascinating decisions coming up. And that'll start with when he gets healthy. What do they do with him, right? And I would expect late December was kind of the timeline for a potential return, but I'm sure there would be a couple week ramp up period. So they'll keep browsing the trade market probably till mid-January before they have to make their next big decision.
It'll be an interesting one for sure, and one that we'll be watching closely. Cody, appreciate you hanging out with us tonight. Look forward to talking to you again soon.
Yep, take care, guys.
Cody Westerlund, our editor here at 670 The Score, also covers the Bulls for us. You know, he don't let him fool you. He loves these Bulls. When I talk to him, I'm always like, Cody, and he's just like, Gabe. You know, it's always like really even keeled. But I'm like, I know you love them deep down inside. You just wish they were better.
You know, I don't think I have ever admitted this on the air in 45 years, but I love the Bears.
You
too.
Love the Bears?
I mean, I was born in Chicago. I was born in Rogers Park. Yeah, right. You know, and I grew up a fan before I became media. And there's nothing wrong with loving the team you cover,
true,
as long as you cover them fairly and honestly and openly and make sure you include the positive and the negative.
Yeah, he can't just be one-sided because then he'd be too much of a fanboy. I know personally. All right. On the other side, we get to continue this Bears – or excuse me, we get to switch up and go back to the Bears conversation as we talk to Alex Shapiro, Bears insider for NBC Sports Chicago. We are going to talk to him about the performance of Justin Fields in the offense against the Cleveland Browns. What was his big takeaway from last Sunday?
Is your home stuck in a style slump? Well, 2026 is your year because Bob's Discount Furniture has incredible finds that pack a style punch and won't drain your bank account. We're talking statement pieces like the gorgeous Sophia sofa and loveseat with channel tufting and super comfy bobopedic cushions, or a farmhouse storage bed that hides the mess and still looks beautiful. Want to cozy things up? Snag an electric fireplace and make your home feel like an actual hug. They've even got the latest technology. Their Showcase immersive sofa has Bluetooth audio, heated seats, massage, power recline, and LED lights. It's like having a movie theater in your home. Make 2026 the year you love your home. Get your picks in 26 at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback, I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. And one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. From plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no, so my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now, I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
This game, we'll do that next. It's Gabe Ramirez and Hub Arkish right here on 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez and Score senior football analyst Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
Oh yeah, that's pretty intense music right there, Leo. I like it though. I like it better than some of the stuff I've been getting. I think it was a Football Monday. I was doing it with Tyler Farrengall, and like he was playing like some, I don't even know, man, some like slow lullaby music, and I was like, dude, it's 3 a.m.
Well, you know what this song is? It's
what is that?
It's from the movie Friday Night Lights. It's like the song they play when they hit the field at the state championship, and like
put the bodies on the floor.
Basically, here we go. Wait, it's about to drop.
Okay, man. You're a producer, not a DJ, my friend.
Yes,
Bears fans.
Oh, so close. All right, it's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkish. And we get to continue our conversation about the Bears. Bears lose to the Cleveland Browns 20-17 on Sunday. The big conversation when I was doing the Plumbers 911 Football Monday was just, you know, how much of the blame was on this person? How much was on this person? I have people give me percentages. It was great. I'm curious what our next guest has to say about that. What if they were to lay blame? I just retweeted one of his tweets about all the offensive possessions of the Chicago Bears, so I'm sure he's leaning in one direction. I can't wait to hear which. Joining us right now on our guest hotline, presented by Circa Sports Illinois. He covers the Bears for NBC Sports Chicago, and he's hanging out with us right now. It is Alex Shapiro. Alex, welcome to the show.
Hey, Gabe, Hub. It is a pleasure to join y'all. Thanks so much for having me.
No problem. So let's talk about this Cleveland game before we look to the future of the Bears. I mean, what were your main takeaways? Because, you know, some would say, and Hub and I were just talking about, you know, even if Darnell Mooney catches that ball, your feelings about Justin Fields, the offense, the team as a whole, you know, pretty much stays the same regardless of the outcome. But what were your big takeaways?
Yeah. Probably my biggest takeaway is, unless, you know, it probably actually doesn't even matter. It's that time has it seemingly run out for this offense to stick together. And at some point over the offseason, some significant changes do need to happen on offense, whether that's replacing Luke Getsy as offensive coordinator, whether that's getting a new quarterback, whether that's both. I think some personnel changes need to happen around the quarterback and for the offensive coordinator to work with. But it's not just a couple of tweaks, in my opinion. It's some big changes need to happen on offense.
You know, Alex, I'm kind of worn out talking about Justin. He's a great kid. I don't mean to say anything negative about him. It's just what new can we say? I'm really intrigued by what you just said, though. What are the other areas that you think they need changes on offense? And I'm talking about players, not really coaches.
I think they probably need a new wide receiver 2 and 3. I think they need another solid tight end 2. I think we kind of took it for granted when Jimmy Graham and Cole Kmet were working together, and Jimmy Graham was a legitimate red zone threat to go along with Cole Kmet. And Robert Tonyan, you know, heading into the season, I expected Robert Tonyan to be really effective with Cole Kmet in 2 tight end sets, and that just never came to fruition. And his dropped what appeared to be a surefire touchdown at the beginning of that game was kind of a microcosm of his entire season. So I think 3 more pass catchers are probably needed. You know, they could probably stand to add on that offensive line as well. So from a personnel standpoint, I mean, DJ Moore has been a stud. But other than that, you know, this is an idea I've been kicking around a lot, too. The run game was so good for so long, but against Cleveland, they tried to spread out so many carries to three different backs, and none of them were able to make any headway. So I'm wondering if, you know, less is going to be more with that. Do you move forward with two running backs instead of this three-headed monster that they've tried, right? The Bears have been best when they've ran with two running backs, not three, so tweaking that rushing attack a little bit. There's all sorts of changes that could be made from the personnel standpoint.
We're talking to Alex Shapiro from NBC Sports Chicago here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish. You bring up two great points. One is about the running game and what has happened to it over the last couple of weeks. And it is because of the injection of Deontay Foreman, right? Hub and I had these talks at the beginning of the season. I thought Deontay Foreman should have been the starting running back from the very beginning. And so he was inactive for the first couple of games. It kind of threw me through a loop. But clearly they wanted to establish Roschon Johnson as one of their primary ball carriers. And obviously after the injury to Khalil Herbert, then everything gets shaken up. Roschon gets the concussion injury, and then now they're at this place where they're not sure how to divide the carries because throughout the entire season they've never had all three ready to go in that backfield. So that's interesting. But I do want to ask you a question about something else you brought up, which is the offensive line. And, you know, clearly Ryan Poles feels comfortable with Braxton Jones at that left tackle position. But with the top 10 pick, you know, a lot of people are leaning, you know, towards that, taking one of the best tackles, something that you probably should do if you're in that position with two picks. What are your thoughts on that and taking a left tackle, someone that could supplant Braxton Jones and not necessarily knowing, you know, what his role will then be if that were the case?
You know, for me, it's less of a priority. I'm not saying it's a wrong move, because if you add a Joe Alt, if you add an Olu Fashanu, it's going to make the team better. And Braxton Jones could probably thrive as a swing tackle in a way that Larry Borum just really hasn't this season. So you're making your team better if you're doing that. And I wouldn't disagree with somebody who says, yeah, the Bears should do this. But I just, for me, would prioritize getting a top flight edge rusher to go opposite Montez Sweat, whether it's Laiatu Latu or Jared Verse, or, you know, adding a pass catcher, like I said, because I don't think the Bears right now have a reliable wide receiver two. For whatever reason, things have not worked out with Darnell Mooney in this offense, right? We all know he's talented. We saw that 1,000-yard season in 2020 or 2021, but it just hasn't worked out with Justin Fields, and it hasn't worked out with Luke Getsy and Darnell Mooney over the past couple of years. So, you know, I look at Marvin Harrison Jr. I look at Malik Nabers. I look at Rome Odunze from Washington. You know, there are a lot of really excellent wide receivers in this draft, and a bunch of them are going to go in the first round. And I would look at those two areas before I'm looking at a left tackle.
You know, it's a loaded wide receiver class, but Marvin Harrison Jr. is the best player in this draft, and you do have the number one overall pick. Would it stun you if the Bears took Harrison at number one instead of trading it or taking the quarterback?
It would stun me. And I agree with what you're saying. Marvin Harrison Jr., like in a vacuum, could go number one overall. But let's be honest, quarterbacks go at the top of this draft. And if the Bears identify Marvin Harrison Jr. as their guy, I would wager if they have that top pick that they trade back one or two spots for a team that really wants Caleb Williams or really wants Drake May, and then you just take Marvin Harrison with two or three. Just because, again, in the 2023 NFL, it's going to be a quarterback going off the top.
You would think so, and I agree with you. I'm not debating it, but I would remind you that they also have the fourth or fifth or sixth pick, and so if they take Harrison number one, they can still do whatever else they might want to do with that number one pick. And I don't think I wouldn't, if Harrison is the guy they want, then I wouldn't risk taking the chance that, you know, you don't take him one, but hopefully he's still there at three or four or something like that.
No. And again, you know, there's something to that as well. You have the top pick. He's the guy. Why mess with it? Just go get him, because yeah, Marvin Harrison takes this wide receiver room to the next level immediately day one. So I understand why you wouldn't want to mess with it, especially knowing you're going to probably have another top 10 pick to get somebody else that's really, really good. That's just not really how I expect it to play out.
Yeah, we're talking to Alex Shapiro from NBC Sports here on 670 The Score. Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish. Talk to me about this defense. I mean, obviously he's been playing exceptionally well. Montez Sweat just getting a ton of pressure on their front line, and Eken Gakwe going down, other people stepping up. You know, you've seen the interior line play exceptionally well. Tyreek Stevenson seems to have settled down after some you know, pretty bad penalties at the beginning of the season. If you were to add to this defense, where would you add to it, and how impressed are you with where they are at currently?
Very impressed. I mean, the things that they have done in 1 year are truly remarkable. Last season, they were the worst run defense in many categories, or bottom five in practically every other one. And now they're top five in a lot of those same categories. They kind of skipped the middle portion, right? Typically teams go from the worst to middling to then the best. They completely skipped that with the run defense, and that should be noted. I also want to credit Matt Eberflus for realizing, hey, getting home with four isn't working for us, even though this is the way we want to do things. He created new pressure packages. He created some interesting pressure packages, and it really helped them take that step until Montez Sweat came. And then, you know, they're still pressuring probably more than we expected heading into the season, but it's less so now.
You know, I just want to point out to you, and I don't mean to interrupt, they're not just a top five run defense as of Sunday and last night. They are now the number one run defense in the league today.
Unreal.
I mean, that is quite a remarkable turnaround from a year
ago. Yeah, exactly. That's insane. And then the takeaways have come. Once the pressure increased, once they started speeding up the clocks on the quarterbacks, the takeaways that we've heard about incessantly for the past 2 years, they're starting to come. So you got to give them credit. To answer your question about where I think they should add, I think edge rusher, like I mentioned before, is definitely in need with Yannick Ngakoue out for the rest of the year, and I don't think they'll bring him back on another one-year deal or on any other deal. Justin Jones is also a guy playing on the last year of his deal, and, you know, there's probably a better chance that he comes back than Yannick Ngakoue, but they might go in a different direction with a young three-tech as well. And then you have the big question in my mind is, what do you do with Eddie Jackson, who has battled injuries for the past two seasons, finally got the interception last week. But if you have health concerns, do they draft a young new safety in the second or third round to really have a young secondary moving forward? Because I believe they can get out from Eddie Jackson's contract without too much dead cap penalty.
You know, there's so much with this team, and the coverage has been so interesting because very few want to focus on the fact that this is a rebuild. This isn't a team competing for the playoffs. But, you know, what also has been lost is not only do they have these draft picks, these high draft picks, for the second year in a row, they're going to have the most available cap space going into free agency. And I think Poles did a pretty good job, at least with the linebackers he signed this year, and a couple of defensive linemen too. So this turnaround is going to come quicker, I think, than we expected or had any reason to expect a few months ago.
Danielle Hunter, that's the name I'm throwing in the hat, guys, with all the money.
Hey, if Danielle Hunter actually makes it to the market, that is definitely a name that will be circled by this staff.
I mean, they're super familiar with him. They know what he can do. Put him on the opposite side of Montez Sweat in this defense? Yes! Do it! Pay the money!
Yeah, but as you guys know, it's fun to dream about all these premier free agent options at this time of the year. Fact is, a lot of these guys never do hit the market, which is why I think it's important, going back to the Montez Sweat deal, that Ryan Poles really took the ball and put it in his own court with Montez Sweat, right? For the people who are saying, oh, you could have just re-signed him in the offseason, he didn't let him hit the market. You know, there are other fan bases who had Montez Sweat circled who now, like, they'll never get a chance, you know? He made the trade. He made the extension offer, obviously, and bam, just like that, he's off the market. So guys like Danielle Hunter, you know, other big free agent prospects. A lot of those guys might not, you know, might not ever have the opportunity to listen to an offer from the Bears.
Yeah, it'll be tough. All right, before I get you out of here, Alex, got to get your thoughts on this weekend's game. Bears taking on the Cardinals. What are your thoughts and expectations?
I do believe the Bears will win. The Cardinals offense, you know, we were talking with Darren Urban, who covers the Cardinals in Arizona, and basically he was telling us their offense works best when their run game is clicking and they can just hand the ball off to James Conner a ton of times to work off of that. And as we just said, the Bears' run defense has been incredible. So if they can bottle that up, if they can speed up the clock on Kyler Murray, this is a game that they should win. And you got to remember, that's a team that plays in a dome in Arizona. It should be cold. Bear weather typically advantage Bears for a team from Arizona. So I think the Bears do get back in the win column this weekend.
Can I give you one quick piece of news? I just happened to look at my phone about 10 minutes ago.
It's snowing on Sunday?
Absolutely.
No, it's going to be close to 50 on Sunday.
Oh, really?
Oh, really? Oh, my God. Oh, well, great. So there goes the Bears weather narrative.
I like it, though, still outdoors. We'll take it anyway. Alex, appreciate you hanging out with us tonight, man. Great stuff.
All right. Thank you, guys. It was a pleasure, as always.
Of course. Alex Shapiro, make sure you listen to him on NBC Sports Chicago. Of course, he has the Bears podcast on there as well. You got to make sure you're checking that out also. Good stuff, though. Good stuff. It's so funny, the bear weather thing. Do you think the Bears, if they get the new stadium hub, they're going to get a dome, or is it going to be like a retractable roof? Do you have any thoughts on that?
Well, I think it only makes sense to have it be a retractable roof. I mean, yeah. You've got to have a roof. They can't build a new stadium and still play all their games outdoors. But I think in Chicago, there are days when you don't want the roof open, you know, you want to be outdoors. And there may even be, if they get good and it becomes really competitive, and we're thinking about things like this, they may want to keep the roof off in 30-degree weather in a playoff game. You just don't know, you know. So I think they will definitely have the option.
Depending on the makeup of the team, right? That's what we do know. All right. More Bears thoughts, our final ones on the other side. We're going to get up out of here at 9 o'clock. So let's continue the conversation on the other side. It's Gabe Ramirez. It's Hub Arkus. It's 670 The Score.
We're back live with more Gabe Ramirez and Score senior football analyst Hub Arkus on 670 The Score.
Got a few more minutes before we get up out of here. It's Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkus, hanging out with you on 670 The Score. Nice little Tuesday. I felt like the last time we did this together, Hub, it was a Friday night. So that's why I'm getting thrown off a little bit. The last couple of times were on a Friday, right?
Turn it on. It works better. Friday's my regular night. Yes.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
When the Bulls aren't playing, that's when we're together.
That's what it is. But we are here now. A couple of things happening in the news that I feel like are worthy and you know, maybe things we could chat about. Did you hear about the DeVito story with the pizza place going on in New York, Hub?
No, I didn't hear that one.
So apparently his agent, the one that we see on TV all the time, agreed in principle for DeVito to come out and do a two-hour autograph signing for $10,000. Well, then he went on to win three straight games, right? Not knowing he would be the starting quarterback of the New York Football Giants. And so the agent then reached back out to the pizza place and said, hey, we're going to make it needs to be $20,000 now. And the pizza place is like, dude, we're a small business. We went out to get this guy. So they put it online because it's 2023. Mm-hmm. And now it's no longer your word versus mine. There's receipts, there's text messages, there's exchanges. And so the agent was like, well, we never agreed to anything. So I don't know why he would promote the appearance. And then the pizza place puts out the text messages where they agreed to the amount and everything. Ultimately, what ends up happening is DeVito ends up going out there anyway. And he does it for free. Of course, because it's the right PR thing to do. Mm-hmm. Don't take $10,000 from the small business. But he ultimately ends up going out there and ends up shaking hands and kissing babies. Do you think this phenomenon that's been happening, whether it is, you know, Browning from the Cincinnati Bengals, DeVito from the Giants, or Bajent from the Chicago Bears, is it watering down the quarterback position at all?
No, I don't think so, because let's see what happens with DeVito in another week, two, three. You know, I mean, Dobbs was you know, the story in the middle of the season, and now he's back to being a number three. I think what we're finding out is that other than the franchise quarterbacks or the Pro Bowl quarterbacks, there's not really that much difference between the rest of these guys. And I think what is proven by this is that the most important differences are more mental and understanding. I'm not that they're dumb or smart, but that they have a mental feel for the game, that they have the natural instincts to do the things that they do, and that really is more important than the physical ability. It is more important.
Yeah.
And you know, physical ability is obviously huge, but there are a lot of very great talented quarterbacks who don't become great quarterbacks because I'm not even sure you can really teach that mental aspect of it. When you look at somebody like an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady, they were born with that. You know, it's not something that they just kept studying and learning until they got it right. And that has from the beginning and continues to be my biggest concern about Justin Fields for the Bears, because he has not demonstrated any of those abilities.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right, Hub? Those guys that you mentioned, even when you're just watching them simply with the eye test, they play the game differently.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch Rodgers or Brady or Mahomes, the way they play the quarterback position is not just, this is how you play quarterback and I'm going to do it the best. No, it's, this is how you play quarterback, this is how you do it the best, and I'm going to add my little flair to it to then separate me from everyone else and put me in the upper echelon of players. And that's why I think the argument with Justin Fields, or even just the quarterback position in general, right? Not even with Justin, we can remove him from the equation. When you see someone that is a part of the pack and you have an opportunity to maybe get someone that could potentially be the guy that we were just mentioning, I think that to me is why 2 years in a row, if you have that opportunity, you got to jump at it eventually. Because my biggest argument I was making against people that were for Justin on our Football Monday show is, so is your argument then that Justin Fields is just going to be better than every single college quarterback to ever come out of college for the rest of time? Because you don't want to wait, or you're not sure, or you can't guarantee who he's going to be. I mean, that's the frustrating part about the conversation.
I'm watching last night and I see the Steelers win that game, and I see Josh Dobb make that throw to win the game. And I'm thinking, does anybody want him as their next starting quarterback? No.
Right.
Is he going to be the Steelers starting quarterback? No. But that was one of the best throws I've ever seen.
Oh, you're talking about last night, the Eagles versus the Seahawks? Or are you talking about,
I'm talking about the Seahawks. Yes,
Seahawks. Yeah, I got you. Drew Lock. I knew what you were saying. You were talking about backup quarterbacks. You said you mentioned Josh Dobbs.
Yes, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, I don't know what teams
you.
I said.
Drew Lock. I know you're talking about. Yeah, I knew what you were talking about. That throw to Jackson Smith and Jigba at the very end was a dime. But you're right. Like, Drew Lock's been around the league. You know, the Broncos, do people want him as their starting quarterback?
He'll probably never make that throw again. But it was just gorgeous. And most guys playing in the NFL can make that play once or five times, whatever it may be. But that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody who can do it naturally all the time. Those guys are few and far between, and it's just really hard to predict which ones are going
to
be that guy.
Yeah, to have the moxie to do it once is one thing when the pressure's on you and you want to feel good for something, but to do it week in and week out, that's what separates you and makes you the best of the best. All right, we are about to get up out of here. Got to thank our guests for today. Leo, why don't you hit me with that theme music? Oh, this is different. I like it. We have to thank Ed Smith, former NFLer and former White Sox player, for joining us today. Also, got to thank Cody Westerlin for lending his insight on the Chicago Bulls. And then, of course, Alex Shapiro just hung out with us and had some great stuff to say about the Chicago Bears. Also, got to thank our producer, Leo Stadaher, today.
He's a freak. He's a fast killer.
I love that. Hub, what you got going on for the weekend?
For the weekend.
Damn, it's not Friday. I just said it wasn't Friday.
I haven't even thought about Wednesday.
I got stuff to do still. What am I talking about?
Yeah, I've got a TV script to finish. That's what I got to do next.
All right, knock that out. Next time you'll hear me on your radios tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m., Mark Grody, the G&G show, will be in full effect filling in for Parkins and Spiegel. Mi gente, that means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Hub Arkish, and this is Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score.
Bear down. It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Oh, could this vintage store be any cuter?
Right? And the best part? They accept Discover.
Accept Discover? In a little place like this? I don't think so, Jennifer.
Oh, yeah, huh? Discover's accepted where I like to shop. Come on, baby, get with the times.
Right, so we shouldn't get the parachute pants?
These are making a comeback. I think.
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. When you use Angie for your home projects, you know all your jobs will be done well. Roof repair? Done well. Kitchen sink install? Done well. Deck upgrades? Done well. Electrical upgrade? Done well. Angie's been connecting homeowners with skilled pros for nearly 30 years, so we know the difference between done and done well. Hire high-quality pros at Angie.com.
Thank you for calling the Bombas Comfort Line. Bombas make socks, slippers, tees, and underwear made with the highest quality materials. Press 1 for comfort, 2 for style, 3 for donation.
You chose style. Bombas has styles for whatever you enjoy. You can run in Bombas, lounge in Bombas, dress them up, dress them down, but always give back in Bombas. Because with every item purchased, another is donated. Bombas, comfort worth calling for. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code AUDIO for 20% off your first purchase. That's BOMBAS.com and use code AUDIO.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron and Sanofi to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark-colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.
We're back. Live with more Gabe Ramirez and SCORE senior football analyst Hub Arkish on 670 The Score.
Got a few more minutes before we get up out of here. It's Gabe Ramirez, Hub Arkish, hanging out with you on 670 The Score. Nice little Tuesday. I felt like the last time we did this together, Hub, it was a Friday night. So that's why I'm getting thrown off a little bit. The last couple of times were on a Friday, right?
Turn it on, it works better. Friday's my regular night, yes.
Yeah, so that's what I'm saying.
When the Bulls aren't playing, that's when we're together.
That's what it is. But we are here now. A couple of things happening in the news that I feel like are worthy and you know, maybe things we could chat about. Did you hear about the DeVito story with the pizza place going on in New York, Hub?
No, I didn't hear that one.
So apparently his agent, the one that we see on TV all the time, agreed in principle for DeVito to come out and do a two-hour autograph signing for $10,000. Well, then he went on to win 3 straight games, right? Not knowing he would be the starting quarterback of the New York Football Giants. And so the agent then reached back out to the pizza place and said, hey, we're going to make it. It needs to be $20,000 now. And the pizza place is like, dude, we're a small business. We went out to get this guy. So they put it online because it's 2023. Mm-hmm. And now it's no longer your word versus mine. There's receipts, there's text messages, there's exchanges. And so the agent was like, well, we never agreed to anything. So I don't know why he would promote the appearance. And then the pizza place puts out the text messages where they agreed to the amount and everything. Ultimately, what ends up happening is DeVito ends up going out there anyway. And he does it for free. Of course, because it's the right PR thing to do. Mm-hmm. Don't take $10,000 from the small business. But he ultimately ends up going out there and ends up shaking hands and kissing babies. Do you think this phenomenon that's been happening, whether it is, you know, Browning from the Cincinnati Bengals, DeVito from the Giants, or Bagent from the Chicago Bears, is it watering down the quarterback position at all?
No, I don't think so, because let's see what happens with DeVito in another week, two, three. You know, I mean, Dobbs was you know, the story in the middle of the season, yeah. And now he's back to being a number three. I think what we're finding out is that other than the franchise quarterbacks or the Pro Bowl quarterbacks, there's not really that much difference between the rest of these guys. And I think what is proven by this is that the most important differences are more mental and understanding. I'm not that they're dumb or smart, but that they have a mental feel for the game, that they have the natural instincts to do the things that they do, and that really is more important than the physical ability. It is more important.
Yeah.
And you know, physical ability is obviously huge, but there are a lot of very great talented quarterbacks who don't become great quarterbacks because I'm not even sure you can really teach that mental aspect of it. When you look at somebody like an Aaron Rodgers or a Tom Brady, they were born with that. You know, it's not something that they just kept studying and learning until they got it right. And that has from the beginning and continues to be my biggest concern about Justin Fields for the Bears, because he has not demonstrated any of those abilities.
Yeah, it's so interesting, right, Hub? Those guys that you mentioned, even when you're just watching them simply with the eye test, they play the game differently.
Mm-hmm.
When you watch Rodgers or Brady or Mahomes, the way they play the quarterback position is not just, this is how you play quarterback and I'm going to do it the best. No, it's, this is how you play quarterback, this is how you do it the best, and I'm going to add my little flair to it to then separate me from everyone else and put me in the upper echelon of players. And that's why I think the argument with Justin Fields, or even just the quarterback position in general, right? Not even with Justin, we can remove him from the equation. When you see someone that is a part of the pack and you have an opportunity to maybe get someone that could potentially be the guy that we were just mentioning, I think that to me is why 2 years in a row, if you have that opportunity, you got to jump at it eventually. Because my biggest argument I was making against people that were for Justin on our Football Monday show is, so is your argument then that Justin Fields is just going to be better than every single college quarterback to ever come out of college for the rest of time? Because you don't want to wait, or you're not sure, or you can't guarantee who he's going to be. I mean, that's the frustrating part about the conversation.
I'm watching last night and I see the Steelers win that game, and I see Josh Dobbs make that throw to win the game. And I'm thinking, does anybody want him as their next starting quarterback? No.
Right.
Is he going to be the Steelers starting quarterback? No. But that was one of the best throws I've ever seen.
Oh, you're talking about last night, the Eagles versus the Seahawks? Or are you talking about,
I'm talking about the Seahawks. Yes,
Seahawks. Yeah, I got you. Drew Lock. I knew what you were saying. You were talking about backup quarterbacks. You said you mentioned Josh Dobbs.
Yes, that's what I was talking about. Yeah, I don't know what teams
you.
I said.
Drew Lock. I know you're talking about. Yeah, I knew you were talking about. That throw to Jaxon Smith-Njigba at the very end was a dime. But you're right. Like, Drew Lock's been around the league. You know, the Broncos, do people want him as their starting quarterback?
He'll probably never make that throw again. But it was just gorgeous. And most guys playing in the NFL can make that play once or five times, whatever it may be. But that's not what you're looking for. You're looking for somebody who can do it naturally all the time. Those guys are few and far between, and it's just really hard to predict which ones are going
to
be that guy.
Yeah, to have the moxie to do it once is one thing when the pressure's on you and you want to feel good for something, but to do it week in and week out, that's what separates you and makes you the best of the best. All right, we are about to get up out of here. Got to thank our guests for today. Leo, why don't you hit me with that theme music? Oh, this is different. I like it. We have to thank Ed Smith, former NFLer and former White Sox player, for joining us today. Also, got to thank Cody Westerlin for lending his insight on the Chicago Bulls. And then, of course, Alex Shapiro just hung out with us and had some great stuff to say about the Chicago Bears. Also, got to thank our producer, Leo Stoddaher, today.
He's a freak. He's a basketball.
I love that. Hub, what you got going on for the weekend?
For the weekend.
Damn, it's not Friday. I just said it wasn't Friday.
I haven't even thought about Wednesday.
I got stuff to do still. What am I talking about?
Yeah, I've got a TV script to finish. That's what I got to do next.
All right, knock that out. Next time you'll hear me on your radios tomorrow, 2 to 6 p.m., Mark Grody, the G&G show, will be in full effect, filling in for Parkins and Spiegel. Mi gente, That means my people. Hasta la próxima. That means until next time. I am Gabe Ramirez. He is Hub Arkish. And this is Chicago Sports Radio 670 The Score.
Bear down.
It's a new year, and it's time to get your picks in 26 with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop Bob's for hot new styles featuring the latest technology, like stylish sleeper sectionals with immersive Bluetooth audio, relaxing reclining sofas with LED lighting, and fabulous fireplaces with mood lighting and speakers, all at Bob's everyday low prices, of course. So if you want to refresh your room for less, save big by stopping in or shopping online at Bob's Discount Furniture.
Thy ticket, Lady Jennifer of Coolidge.
Well, many thanks, good sir. Heareth my Discover card.
They accept Discover at Renaissance fairs?
Yeah, they do here. Discover is accepted at the places I love to shop. Getteth with the times.
With the times? You're playing the lute.
Yeah, and it sounds pretty good, right?
Discover is accepted at 99% of places that take credit cards nationwide. Based on the February 2025 Nielsen report.
Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie. One thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. And for decades, Angie's helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter. Get all your jobs done well at Angie.com.
You're a pro at running your life, at committing to your workout, at showing up every day. At Bombas, we're pros too. Pros at making socks. Our sport assortment has specialized socks for whatever sport you're committed to. Running, hiking, golf, Pilates, and so much more. Made with sweat-wicking yarns, blister-fighting details, and targeted arch support. Bombas Sport is pro-level socks from the pros of socks. For another pro, you. Go to bombas.com/audio and use code audio for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com and use code audio.
Making plans with asthma can be awful. It always goes from, that sounds fun, to, in this weather, what if my asthma acts up? I got tired of saying no. So my doctor suggested Dupixent. I'm Rachel, and I'm sponsored by Regeneron in Santa Fe to share my story with real patients like me.
Dupixent, dupilumab, is an add-on prescription maintenance treatment for adults and children 6 years and up with moderate to severe eosinophilic or oral steroid-dependent asthma that's not controlled with current asthma medicines. Dupixent is not for sudden breathing problems.
Dupixent helps people breathe better in as little as 2 weeks. And now I don't even think twice about saying yes to plans more, rain or shine.
Severe allergic reactions, including skin reactions, can occur. Get help right away for face, mouth, tongue, or throat swelling, wheezing, or trouble breathing. Tell your doctor right away of signs of inflamed blood vessels like rash, chest pain, worsening shortness of breath, brown or dark colored urine, tingling or numbness in limbs. Tell your doctor of new or worsening skin symptoms, joint aches and pain, or a parasitic infection. Don't change or stop other treatments without talking to your doctor.
Do more with less asthma. Ask your asthma specialist about Dupixent by name. Visit Dupixent.com or call 1-844-DUPIXENT.